This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Carlton Brown, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University.
Greetings. I'm Dr. Shafiq Khan, director of the Cancer Center. The Cancer Center is committed to carrying out highly productive basic research in cancer cell and molecular biology, training of undergraduate and graduate students and research fellows in cancer research, and increasing awareness for prevention, early detection, and treatment of cancers which disproportionately affect the African American population. We hope to provide our audience with the most recent and up-to-date information on cancer healthcare issues facing our community.
Hello, I'm Barbara Washington, host for Your Health Connection. This program is sponsored by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University in partnership with WCLK 91.9 FM. Today's program will feature two outstanding health experts, Dr. Shafiq Khan, the scientific director of CCRTD, a university center of excellence that focuses on research in prostate cancer, and Dr. Daniel Blumenthal, professor and chair of the Department of Community Health and Preventive Medicine and associate dean for community programs at the Morehouse School of Medicine. Our conversation today will focus on cancer screening. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
First, let's just talk about what is cancer screening. Dr. Khan?
Well, the cancer screening is to find out by different methods, different ways, if somebody has a cancer or not. That's in the simplest term, the screening for cancer.
So I might add that screening by definition is something you do when you don't have symptoms. So it's something we do to discover cancer before it becomes apparent to the patient, before it becomes apparent to the victim, before anybody knows that they have it. So that's why we, as we get into this conversation, I'm sure we're going to be encouraging people to get appropriately screened before they start having symptoms.
What are the most common types of screening tests?
Yeah, I think that differs with different cancers. You know, you have heard about mammograms. Mm-hmm. You have heard about colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. You have heard about PSA testing for prostate. So it's different kind of cancers will have different ways to screen them.
So there are four cancers for which screening tests are widely available. And Dr. Khan has mentioned them, has mentioned the tests, but let me mention the cancers. One is breast cancer, and the usual screening test there is mammogram and x-ray. Colorectal cancer of the large intestine and rectum, where there are two main kinds of screening tests. One is called fecal occult blood testing. It's a test that's done on the stool. And the other is colonoscopy, where the physician actually looks through a scope to see the inside of one's colon. The third kind of cancer for which there is generally accepted screening is cervical cancer. And the main test there is the pap smear or the pap test. And then there's prostate cancer, and there is a screening test available. And that fourth one is controversial, and I'm sure we'll get into the controversy as we go on here. But then you may hear some companies advertise other kinds of screening tests where they do whole body scans and that sort of thing, and we don't recommend those. Okay. But the kinds of cancer that we do have tests for are the four that I mentioned.
A recent article in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute associated singles flexible seismoidoscopy screening with reducing instances of colorectal cancer. What is that?
So a sigmoidoscope is an instrument with which the doctor can look at the last half of the colon and the rectum. Mm-hmm. And that's a screening test that will enable the doctor to detect a cancer if it's growing in that half of the colon. Mm-hmm. So that's not as good as a colonoscopy, with which the doctor can look at your whole colon. So if you're the advantage of a sigmoidoscope rather than a colonoscope is that a family physician can do a sigmoidoscopy or an internist can do a sigmoidoscopy, but you need a specialist, a gastroenterologist, to do a colonoscopy. So it's somewhat more accessible. It's somewhat less expensive, but it's not as good. So if you're going to do a sigmoidoscopy screening, we recommend that you also get a fecal occult blood test once a year. So you can get a sigmoidoscopy every 5 years, and then in between get a fecal occult blood test every year.
Now, we've said that you want to do screening before symptoms occur. What are other times when screening is beneficial, when you determine that screening is really beneficial?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question. Screening is by definition something you do when there are no symptoms.
Okay.
If you've got symptoms, then you require a bunch more tests to find out what are causing the symptoms.
Well, let me jump in. I mean, the screening, as Dr. Blumenthal said, it is by definition before you get the symptoms. Mm-hmm. But in terms of cancers, when you get the symptoms, it's usually too advanced of a disease to treat. So one of the reasons you do screening is to detect any cancer you might be developing in a very early stages, because most of these cancers then are really curable if you catch them very early. So you don't want symptoms to develop before you start. And so that's why screening is really important.
Would one of the first questions the patient should ask be, what's my chance of dying from this cancer if I don't get screened?
Well, the good news is the chance is fairly small for any particular cancer.
Okay.
So take prostate cancer, for instance. The chance of a man dying from prostate cancer is about 3%. He might die from some other kind of cancer. Might die from heart disease, might die from a stroke, might die from getting run over by a car. So if you sort of isolate the different cancers that way, then you have to say your chance of dying from that cancer are rather small. So that's kind of the good news. The bad news is that these things are additive, so we want you to take precautions for all of them, and cancer screening isn't the only thing that you need to do to remain healthy.
Yes, the problem will be if you didn't get screened and then you developed some symptoms and you found out that you have something like, let's say, prostate cancer. If it is then caught in a late stage, then of course the chances of survival are much less than if it was caught early. So all those screening statistically may not save a whole lot of lives, but for that one person, it can be very important. And I think that I give you one example. In Georgia, if you're looking at African-American prostate cancer patients, the people who are diagnosed with the disease, 64% of them die of that disease. But if that, you know, if it was caught in a very early stages, the cure rate is more than 95%. So why those people die of the disease is because they're being diagnosed very late. And so screening might help in that way, but I understand what Dr. Blumenthal is saying. The number of people who die of prostate cancer and not from other diseases is very low.
So we know that everybody's going to die of something, and so you're asking what's the probability of each different disease of your dying from that disease. And since there are so many of them, if you just pick out one, you can say, well, the probability is pretty low. That's not a reason to just ignore them all. What it means is that there are many things that you have to do to remain healthy. Cancer screening is one of them. Not smoking is another one. practicing safe sex is another one. Wearing your seatbelt is another one. We could go on and on, right. But we're here to talk about cancer screening.
Well, what other questions should patients ask about the cancer screening test that their doctors might recommend?
The patient might ask, how often should I get screened?
Okay, that's a good one.
And if you're getting screened by colonoscopy for colorectal cancer, the answer is once every 10 years, starting at age 50. If you're getting screened for cervical cancer with a Pap test, the most recent recommendations are to start getting screened at age 21 and to do it every 2 years. And then the schedule gets sort of complicated after that, so we'll just leave it at getting screened regularly every 2 years.
Well, Dr. Blumenthal, does that change if your family history is different in terms of the number?
If you had a family history of one of the known genetically transmitted kinds of colorectal cancer, for instance, yes, that would change. You'd need to get screened more often. You might need to get screened every year because there are certain syndromes, there are certain kinds of cancers that have genes that just make it almost certain you're going to get cancer.
Yeah, and I think it's very important for breast and prostate cancer because, you know, or ovarian cancer, you have this BRCA1 gene. And so if there is that gene is in the family, then the physicians might tell you to go and get tested at an earlier age and more often.
Right. What are some of the serious downsides of screening?
Well, a screening test is not a diagnostic test. It's not exact. So if you get screened, you might turn out to be a false negative, meaning that you get the test and you actually had the cancer, but the test missed it. You might be a false positive, which means that you didn't have the cancer, but the screening test came back positive anyway. And so that obviously leads to not only a lot of worry, but a lot of unnecessary tests, and it may lead to unnecessary therapy and a lot of expense. And so everybody thinks that you ought to just get screened, and that's been studied, and there are certain clear recommendations we can make about what kind of screening tests you ought to have. But screening is not without a downside, and you have to appreciate that.
Yeah, and there will be some good screenings and bad screenings. I mean, it really depends on how good the test is. It can be precise, but it can also be not so precise, as Dr. Blumenthal said. You know, for example, somebody gets a PSA test for prostate. Now, that only tells you that there may be something going on in your prostate. It's not that you have cancer, but it could be anything. The other thing is, what you mentioned, that there is a problem with over-treatment sometimes. You know, you might say that, well, somebody has a disease somewhere, so the doctors start treating. So if the test wasn't very, very good to start with, that's a bigger problem. Okay. That's a big problem. So we really need some better screening test for that.
I think prostate cancer is exactly the cancer that we need a better test for.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Dr. Khan can discover a better test. I think that's some of the work that he's doing.
I think people are working on that. But in the absence of that, I mean, we have the PSA and the digital rectal exam. And they are not precise, but they can point towards a disease. Now, that disease could be cancer. It could be any other thing in your prostate. Of course, it can lead you to more tests. But if those symptoms or those tests are pointing towards the cancer, then sometimes it can lead to over-treatment. Sometimes it saves your life.
This is Barbara Washington, and you are listening to Your Health Connection, made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. You can always listen to our program on demand and catch up on the latest health news about cancer prevention and treatment at WCLK.com.
So this might be a good time to talk about those concerns at both ends of that spectrum of false negative and false positive with prostate cancer screening. So the tests that we have available to us, the prostate-specific antigen, or PSA, and the digital rectal exam, don't perform very well at distinguishing between a prostate cancer that will grow rapidly and lead to death if it's not treated immediately, and a prostate cancer which will grow slowly or not at all and may never cause any problem. So there has been a lot written and a lot argued and a lot spoken about prostate cancer screening. And now we have a whole range of recommendations. And at one end of the range are advocates who say every man starting at age 50 or maybe starting at age 40 or maybe even before that ought to get screened for prostate cancer. And at the other end of the spectrum, we have, for instance, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, which is a expert committee appointed by the government. They aren't government people, but they're appointed by government. And they say nobody should get screened. They think that the downside outweighs the good side, that you're more likely to have unnecessary tests, unnecessary surgery, unnecessary radiation. And you're more likely to suffer from that than you are to save your life from discovering the prostate cancer. So they say, don't get screened.
Well, how and do they in, come up and these
in between, are, for instance, the American Cancer Society and other expert groups that say what you ought to do is get all the information you can, talk to your doctor, read about the test, read about the upside, read about the downside, and make up your own mind about whether you want to be screened. And that's where I come down. I say, as best you can, educate yourself about this disease and about this test, and then decide if you want to be screened.
I understand what you're saying, and that's generally how I approach problem solving. Get all the information possible, and then make a decision. But how does this United States Preventive Services Task Force come up with the recommendations that they make, similar to what you've just said?
They have a staff that reads all the articles that they can find, all the research papers that they can find, all the studies that have been done, and they put all that together and come up with an analysis that they then present to the committee of experts, and the committee of experts makes their recommendation. But that's how they do it. They review the literature. They review the research that's been done on the topic. Okay. But everybody doesn't agree with them.
I am one of those. I think we have a problem when it comes down to screening, and especially for something like prostate cancer. We don't have the perfect tests, and as we discussed before, but the tests we have, they can point towards a disease, but they cannot pinpoint exactly what kind of disease you have. Now, the problem, I think, with the preventive services and other people are telling us is that people end up being overtreated. But I think that is where the conversation should go and see, you know, what kind of cancer should be treated, what should not be treated, how can we find out from a relatively harmless to a metastatic cancer, difference between that, what might turn out to be deadly, what may not. But the conversation is unfortunately more on towards, well, you don't need to know whether you have cancer or not. And I think that our position over there is that, especially, as I said, the statistics before in the African-American community, that people need to know if there is something wrong. Right. Because if they're diagnosed too late, then they die.
This is Barbara Washington, and you are listening to Your Health Connection, made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. You can always listen to our program on demand and catch up on the latest health news about cancer prevention and treatment at WCLK.com. We'll be back shortly with more of today's conversation about cancer screening and prevention with our guests, Dr. Shafiq Khan and Dr. Daniel Blumenthal.